tonight. Tonight we're going to pick up in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 7. We're going to read verses 7 through 11, then we'll pray and we'll just, we'll see what the Lord would have for us, what he would say to us tonight. In a minute, we're going to go to Psalm 18. I do not have Psalm 18 up tonight for PowerPoint. You're going to have to look that one up, read that for yourself. I'll read it to you, but it won't be on the screen. It's quite a long reading. Let's read this and then we will pray. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse number 7, the writings of Paul. It says, "So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God." Paul says to the church, "You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassions of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and in understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters in life." Paul says, I want you to really, how many know sometimes we can get it jacked up about what really matters in life. Come on, somebody. Paul said, "I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live a pure life and a blameless life until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God." Father, we just ask you to speak to us tonight. We ask for your anointing, for your presence, for your spirit to be in this place. Lord, we come in this place from different places in life, different seasons in life, different struggles in life. But God, we know that you are God of every season and every cycle. We know you're a personal Savior. And so I pray, God, you would take this message and you would speak to us tonight. The unadulterated truth, that we would receive it right where we need it and we would apply it in our lives, Lord. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, so Paul was writing this church, writing this letter from prison, and he's writing it back to the church of Philippi. And in verse 1 through 6, we discussed how much Paul talked about how much he loved them and how much he was thankful for their relationships. And I reminded everybody that was gathered in here the last Wednesday night that we met that be sure you tell the people in your life that you love, be sure that you let them know that you love them and you're thankful for them. Now, that may seem very simple, and that may seem very elementary to you, but sometimes in life, we get so busy, and we're so hung up, and we're so worried that we miss the greatest blessings in our life. And can I tell you, the greatest blessings in our life, other than our salvation, is the people that God has placed in our life. It's our husband, it's our wife, it's our kids, it's our brothers and sisters. Just make sure if someone has touched your life, if someone has made an impact in your life, just make sure and take a few minutes out and tell them, "Thank you, I appreciate you, and I love you." That will go a long way in our relationships. Paul reminds the church too. He says, you know what? We're not just members of this church together. We are partners together. I got to go back and I got to hit on that again. Can I tell you something tonight? You're not just a member of Bethel Assembly. Come on, somebody. You're not just a member that comes and sits and warms a pew. You're not just a member that comes and puts a little bit of money in the offering plate. The steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord, and it is not an accident that we have all been placed here in Anson, Texas, in Bethel Assembly. We're not just members. We are partners. How many of you know that none of us can do it on their own? I can't do it on my own. Connor can't do it on his own. Jennifer can't do it on her own. I can't do it on my own. We are partners. Connor and I, he's more than a singer. He's my partner, y'all. Tubby is my partner in life. My kids are my partner in life. And if you can begin to change your mentality towards the church and you go, guess what? I'm a partner in that place. And what I do and how I live makes an impact for the kingdom of God. It will change everything in your life. And I could preach a long time right there, y'all. Because people think church is some kind of social club. And people think church is something that they should come to and be served. We think it's like going to the country club. If I bless you with my presence at that church, you should have the kind of coffee that I want. You should sing the songs that I want. And you should never, ever step on my toes because I am a member of your church. No, no, no. We are not members of any kind of church. We are family. We are partners in the kingdom of Almighty God. And when you're a partner with somebody, How many of you know you'll work a little harder and you'll sacrifice a little more and suffering doesn't bother you as bad if you're partners and you know you're working together for a common goal? Paul said, we are, we're partners. We share something. We share something together. And so here's what he said they shared. He said, we share the favor of God. We share the favor of God that is upon God's children. What does it mean, the favor of God? The favor of God, faith, to have favor on someone means this: excessive kindness or unfair partiality. Unfair partiality. And so I'll put it to you this way. I am unfairly partial to my wife. Come on, somebody. I am unfairly partial to my kids. Because they're my kids, because they belong to me. I hold them partial. I give them preferential treatment. It's excessive. It's unfair. It's preferred. And I want you to know something tonight. You have the favor of God on your life. God prefers you. God wants to love you excessively. God, he is partial to you and to your life and to everything. And I'm telling you, y'all, we got to understand that. We have to grasp the fact that God is partial to me. So many of us, now I'm just going to, can I be real with y'all for a minute? When we start talking about this grace thing, you got to have some balance. Because there's two groups of people in this church tonight. One group is when I start talking about grace. When I start talking about it's unearned, when I start saying it's unmerited, when I say grace is just something God gives you, you should live in the grace of God, there will be some people that are stuck in their old religion and say, yeah, but it's grace and God gives it to you, but you got to do this, this, and this, and this in order to receive that grace. Because we get a little sideways and we get a little self-righteous and we make it about our works. No, no, no. Grace, we're going to read in a minute, is not something that you or I can earn in any way. It is absolutely a gift from Almighty God. So we got to be careful on that side. But you know what the other side is? Everything's grace. Oh, just give it to me, God. I can live like I want to live, sleep with who I want to sleep with, smoke what I want to smoke, and post what I want to post, and go to whatever club I want to go to. And it's okay because God gives me grace. Syrupy, sugary, both of those are fallacy. Both of those are wrong. We have to find a place where we can come together in the middle, and we can celebrate the free gift, and we can celebrate grace, and we can say, because of what Jesus did, now God the Father favors me. But we also have to go, you know what? Because he does favor me, I'm not going to live this lifestyle. I'm going to repent and come here in the middle, and I'm going to live a life of balance. But I want to talk to you about grace. Paul says, we're all in this thing together. Paul says, we share the favor of God. Another word for favor is grace. Grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited, you didn't earn it. I can't earn it. None of us deserve it. Watch this. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Grace is what saves us. And is not a reward for the good things we have done. Look at me. Look. You are not saved because of the good things you've done. I am not saved because of the good things I have done. The Bible says the good things that you and I have done are filthy rags to God the Father. The only way is through Christ. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast or brag about it. Grace is what God gives to all of his children. Then he gives us grace or favor. He gives us grace for our salvation. How many believe that? Say a good amen. Amen. Our salvation is his grace given to us. We can't take credit for it. We're sinners. We're messed up. We're full of condemnation, unworthiness. We come to God. We repent of our sins. We believe in Jesus. Boom. At that moment, we're adopted into the family of God. We are now brought back into relationship with God. We cry, Abba, Father. We are born again. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. That grace gives us eternal life in heaven. But here's the thing. So many of us receive that grace for salvation, and then we forget about it and we say that's all it's for. No, no, no. I'm about to prove to you that God gives us grace for salvation, but then he continues to give us grace throughout the rest of our life here on this earth to strengthen us to be all that he's called us to be. How many of you would say, I need some more strength sometimes? That comes from the grace of God. 2 Timothy 2:1. Timothy, Paul says, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. We can be strong in the grace of God. God gives us grace. I'm about to read you that scripture I told you about a while ago in Psalm chapter 18. I want you to see, as I read this scripture to you, I want you to see the struggles that the psalmist is going through. I want you to see the enemy that's coming against the psalmist. I want you to see how dark his life could be. I want you to see all the persecution that the psalmist is saying, but I also want you to see where the psalmist keeps his focus. Because listen to me, look. We can face persecution, struggle, trials, and be going through hell on earth. But if we can learn to renew our mind, and if we can learn to keep our focus on God the Father rather than on the things that we're going through, we will make it through the tough times. If we can learn to say, no matter what comes my way, the grace of God gives me strength to overcome anything that I might face. If we can learn to focus on the Father, His grace to you. I'm going to read verse 1 through 19. The psalmist says, I love you, O Lord. You are my strength. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. I love the Lord. You are my rock. You're my fortress. You're my savior. My God, you are my rock. You're in whom I find protection. You're my shield. You are the power that saves me and my place of safety. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and he will save me from my enemies. Watch this. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress again, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for his help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. Listen to this. He cried out. When the Lord heard it, verse number 7, the earth began to quake and tremble. The foundations of the mountains shook. They quaked because of him. Smoke poured out of his nostrils. Fierce flames leapt from his mouth. Glowing coals blazed forth from him. He opened heaven. Come on, y'all. And he came down. Dark storm clouds were beneath his feet. Mounted on a mighty angelic being, he flew, soaring on the wings of the wind. He shrouded himself in darkness, veiling his approach with dark rain clouds. Thick clouds shielded the brightness around him and rained down hail of burning coals. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded amid the hail and the burning. He shot his arrows and scattered my enemies. Great bolts of lightning flashed and they were confused. Then at your command, O Lord, at the blast of your voice, the bottom of the sea could be seen and the foundations of the earth laid bare. He reached down from heaven and he rescued me. He drew me up out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at the moment when I was in distress, but the Lord God supported me and he led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. Do you see the struggle that the psalmist is going through? But the whole time, he said, I'm crying out to my God. And aren't you thankful that we have a God whose ears are attentive unto our cry, and we have a God that will leave heaven to come to this earth to rescue us out of any kind of destruction we might be facing. He came down. That blows me away. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a serious question. Who do we think we are that the Almighty God would leave his place in heaven? Who do we think we are to deserve God, Yahweh, to leave his throne and to come down to this earth and rescue in life? Come on, somebody.
I think it's all about me and all about what I want and all about what I need. And when I look at life and when I look at the earth and when I look at times past and I look at the future and I look what's going on, I'm just a moment. I'm just here for a little while and I'm nobody. I'm uneducated. I'm not even the best preacher. I live out in the country. I live on the edge of the shinry. Who am I that in the middle of my sin and the middle of my distress, God would send his only begotten son and save me by grace that I did not earn and I did not deserve? Who am I that my God would save me? What difference do I make to the world? What difference does it make if I get to heaven? They're not going to open the doors of heaven and go, yes, Cody Cochran is here. But what difference do I make? What difference do you make? Why would God do that for me and you, for sinners like us? Why? Let me back up and let me tell you why. Psalm 18, 19. He led me to a place of safety and he rescued me because he delights in me. You need to know that God has given you grace, which shows unmerited favor, which means he delights in you. He delights in you. Come on, somebody. Donna, I don't know how, but girl, he delights in you. Carrie Fortune, he delights in you, man. Scott Payne, Lord Jesus, I don't know how. He delights in you, Katie. He delights in you, Wyatt. And he like God looks at you and goes, that's my child. And my kids are so different. Will is so different than Jesse, and Jesse is so different than Clara, and they may have different personalities, and they may act in different ways, but let me tell you something. They are all three my kids, and I don't love any one of them any more than I love the other. They are all my children, and I love them in spite of what they choose for a career. I love them in spite of what's going on in their life, and you and I got to understand that we are all siblings in the body of Christ, and God the Father shows no partiality, and if he loves one of us, he loves the rest of us the same way. If we can understand that, because most of us think that God just tolerates us. Can we be real? Nobody knows you like you know you, and nobody knows me like I know me. And when we're at home at night, we know the struggles that we think, and we know the thoughts that go through our mind, and we know the bad habits that we have, and we know the things that we're doing wrong, and somehow the enemy comes in and says, see, you're not good enough. God doesn't really love you. No, you got to change that. God loves you. You got to understand that God absolutely delights in you, that he favors you. Can I tell you something? I talked a little bit about this Sunday. Our world so wants equality. Our world so wants inclusivity. I don't even know what that word really means. Just include everybody. Everybody's equal. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you what really, really brings equality to the world? God the Father. Because we are either sinners or we are sons of daughters of God. That's it. There's no in-between according to the word of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and then when we choose to accept the grace of God and have faith in God, then he washes us in the blood of his only begotten son. We're forgiven. Our past is paid. All the old is passed away. Everything is made new, and now we're sons and daughters of the Almighty God. That makes it equal. Listen to me. God, this is a good word. That means if we're all born-again believers in this place, look at me. Look. We are all equal in this place in the eyes of God the Father. Every one of us. We're equal. God doesn't look at you and go, Alex, if you would just do what this one did, if you would lead like Connor led, then I would love you more. I would love you as much. And so we got to understand, if we're children of God, God has given us grace and God delights in us. Psalm 84:11, watch this. For the Lord God is our strength. Hold no good thing from those who do what is right. If we accept that grace and we live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's not going to withhold bad from you. Some of you need to know God's good and God wants to bless you. Some of you think, well, because I've made a mistake or because I didn't pray long enough or because what I did in the past, God's not going to bless me. No. You just do what's right now and you do what God is calling you to do right now in this moment and God will not withhold good things from you. We got to understand that. It changes everything. We understand God is good. Watch this one, Proverbs 3. My child,
Hold up, I skipped one. Okay, watch this. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. Let me ask you, your husband, something. Y'all got a good wife? Let me tell you. That's a trick question, boy. You better say yes. Deal's off tonight. Right now, if you don't say yes. You think it's because of your work ethic. You think because it's because of your swag. You think because it's your good looks that you got a good wife. No, no, no. You got a good wife because God's favor was on your life. You think you got a wives, you got a good husband? The men did better than y'all. So y'all ain't got nothing to say. You got a good husband because God gave you favor. That's the reason. Because the favor of God. It's favor of God. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve her. She don't deserve me. Just saying. Watch this. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. My child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Did y'all get that? If we accept the grace of God, we're adopted into his family. We now become children of God. Now, follow the commands of God. Do what God has asked us to do. And if we honor God, we will find favor with God and with people, y'all. I've been trying to teach my kids this. You live right in the eyes of God, and God will put people around you that will favor you and show you partiality that you didn't deserve, but they'll want to bless you and elevate you everywhere you go in life. Then you'll earn a good reputation. I got to go on. I got to get y'all out of here. One more. Where am I at? For his anger lasts only for a moment. How many know God can get angry with us? And that ticks some snowflakes off right now, just saying. It just does. But God's God. And when we disobey, God gets angry. Just know that. He gets angry with us sometimes when we don't do what's right and when we don't honor the grace. But his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. He may be angry at you, but you know what? His favor is going to come and show up in your life. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. God may get angry, but he's not going to continue to be angry and go, "Dead gum, you Chelsea, you thing, I tell you what, I ain't going to ever give you. That salty wrong place ain't never going to do any good because you screwed up before and you made me mad and I'm angry at you." That's not the way God is. That's the way some of you are. That ain't the way God is. God may be angry at you, but if you repent and come back and do right, boom, he'll put his favor right back on you and show you that grace that much more. No matter where we are, God's favor is upon us. That's what I want you to understand tonight. No matter where we are, God's favor is upon us. No matter what season we are facing, God's favor is upon us. And his favor is what gives us strength. No matter what season you're in, God's grace is upon you. Paul is writing this letter from prison. And he said, while I'm in prison and while I'm being mistreated, listen, God's favor is still upon me. Before I was in this prison, when I was traveling all over the world preaching the gospel, his favor was with me. Paul trusted the grace of God no matter what. And I'm telling you, here's what I want you to hear tonight. I'm getting ready to close. You take on that attitude and I take on that attitude. It's a game changer in our life. God's good. God's favor is upon me. God prefers me. God loves me. God is for me and not against me. When my enemies come against me, I can call on the name of the Lord. No matter what's happening on this earth, God is for me. He will leave heaven and he will come down and he will rescue me. This is a game changer for you and your life. It's a game changer for you and your relationships. I feel like preaching to y'all tonight. Because we get this old jacked up mentality with God, and it's the same way with our relationship. We think that if we perform well enough, then God will put his favor on us. We think if we do good enough and fill in enough religious checks and we put enough money in the plate and we pray long enough and we read long enough, and if we would do, then God would have favor on us. No, no, no. This is not a performance mentality. And what happens is that bleeds over into our marriage. And if my wife would just do this, and if my husband would just do this, we make it all about our works, and it kills the relationship. This is an attitude. Paul never lost that mindset. Paul never kept his eyes off of God. And I don't even really have time for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Paul said, the favor of God's on me. Favor of God's on you. We share that together. It makes us all equal. And then he says this. He goes, you know what? I'm praying for y'all, and I'm praying for the love of God to overflow in your life. More and more love. And then he says, but I pray you would keep growing in knowledge and growing in understanding. Y'all give me 5 minutes, say good amen. Paul says, here's grace. God gives you grace. You don't deserve it. No matter how good you are, how rich you are, how many times you've been to church, we don't deserve it. Sin, the wages of sin or death, they separate us from God. God sent his son, Jesus. Through Jesus, we have grace, we have mercy, we have redemption and forgiveness, and we come into right relationship with God. And then Paul says, the favor, and we're all equal. And then Paul says, here's what I'm praying for you, that you would learn to love God and love others better. That you would learn to love, that love would overflow. The love of God would overflow in your life and in your marriage and with your kids and everywhere you go. And then he says this, and I also pray that you would continue to grow in knowledge and understanding. When you're adopted in the family, you're a child of God. But you know what? My goal in life is not to be a child of God for the rest of my life, but to grow up and be an adult of God. Come on, somebody. When you really relish and thankful for the grace, you'll grow in understanding and knowledge, and you'll grow up and you'll start living a life. Because Paul said, that's what really matters in life, loving others and growing in knowledge and understanding God. That's what makes for a healthy life. In doing that, we'll live pure lives, we'll live blameless lives, and we'll bring much glory to God in the way that we've carried ourselves. Last scripture. If we do that, if we receive grace, grow in knowledge, grow in love, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. If we live a life of grace, love, growing, and maturing, we will be filled up with the fruit of our salvation. Not only will others receive the fruit, but we'll be filled up with the fruit of salvation that brings glory to God. Connor, would y'all come help me close this thing? Because here's what I want to say tonight. I want to close with this. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I want to take an opportunity tonight to pray for some of you. I want to take an opportunity to give you a chance to respond to the message that Paul is preaching tonight. Because I really believe that there are two groups in this place tonight. And I want us to be transparent, and Holy Spirit, just be as authentic as we can be. Because if we're unwilling to face the truth, we will always live our lives in bondage. We will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And there's some of us in here tonight, there's one group of people. And we're not good at giving grace, and we're not good at receiving grace, and we're not good at talking about grace. We've made it all about what we do, and how we act, and how we behave. And when we do that, we get a little self-righteous. And when we do that, we get just a little bit religious. And we get to thinking, well, you know what, I've been going to church longer than they've been going to church. I already received these blessings. We get in these modes, and we don't know how to receive grace, and we don't know how to give grace. So for those of y'all that are in this room tonight, you struggle with that spirit of religion. You struggle with that self-righteousness. You struggle with making it all about works. I pray that the Spirit of God would take you back to the foot of the cross tonight. And you would have this moment where you would appreciate the grace of God that much more. And you would realize that it is nothing that you've done and nothing that you can do to make him love you more. That he favors you right where you are. And then there's some more of us in here that we just can't understand the favor of God. Because we feel like we're not good enough. And the enemy has worn us down and beat us up with condemnation. We've beat ourselves up with unworthiness. We beat ourselves up with heaviness, and we're just beat down, and we're living life thinking nothing's ever good going to happen. God's never going to rescue me. I'm not good enough. If I could just do, no. I pray that God would take you to the cross, and you could look up that cross and see the bloodstained cross and the sacrifice of Christ, and you would know in that moment that, you know what, God loves you. God favors you. God's chosen you. And if you can step out from under that dark cloud and realize, like the psalmist, that God split heaven wide open and he came down from glory and he dwelt upon this earth to rescue us and to save us. And I pray that we can understand, if it was just you alone, that God would have still done it, because you're created in his image and he delights in you. If either one of those groups can step out of the bondage that they're in, it will bring you to a place of freedom where you can accept and love and appreciate the grace of God like you never have before. And in that moment, you can begin to grow and gain knowledge, and you can bring much glory to God the Father. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay set down for a minute. I want Connor and the worship team to sing this song, a verse or two of this song, and then I'm going to come back up and I'm going to give you an opportunity to be prayed for. I'm going to give you an opportunity to let the Lord set you free and change you and let you leave here in the grace and in the strength of his favor. So Holy Spirit, speak to us in this song. Sit quietly. Let the Holy Spirit move. Let the words of these songs steal this word in your heart. And I'll be back in a moment to pray for you.